The following program is brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and the views and opinions may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station.
Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Hilton launches Yon, another new hotel brand. Uber and Lyft drivers in one state have formed a union, and Hawaiian Airlines says goodbye to free meals in economy class. Those stories next in the news.
Wallet Hub has named its best hotel loyalty programs for 2026, and we'll share the name of the winner and talk a little bit about hotel frequency guest programs. Is it just me, or does it feel like those programs are offering less and less in the way of actual awards? We'll discuss it in our Smarter Traveler Update at 11:22.
Many of the current trends in travel are being driven by women. We'll talk about a few. And the Tony Awards are tomorrow night. And remembering we are the travel and entertainment guys, we'll have a look from the stage on Broadway in New York City at 11:35.
The history of those delicious chocolate chip cookies DoubleTree Hotels gives you at check-in. Headed up the odds and ends segment coming up at 11:50.
Thanks for joining us on this warm Saturday morning. I'm on my way across the pond to Amsterdam. Tom is in Sacramento. And we have some great information for you on today's edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
To Vegas. To Seattle.
Get your kicks. On Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Kaufman and Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm high atop my home studio. Mark is all the way across the country in New York City. Mark, how has your trip been so far?
Good so far. Got an opportunity to see a classic old Broadway revival last night, a play on stage, Death of a Salesman, which is starring Nathan Lane, and is really, it's quite a production. It's not the most upbeat show that you'll ever go see. Just the title alone kind of clues you in into what you're, but in the old days, there were many, many, many traveling salesmen on the road, and they would go from, in some cases, from block to block, but in many cases from town to town. And they would ply their wares and report back to the home office and the like. And of course, as time went on, the need for those people has gone away. And it's a profession that has pretty much fallen by the wayside. And as we were talking last night, coming out of the show, that may have been one many years ago that went away, but there are other, you know, jobs and professions and stuff like that that have gone away as time has swallowed them over the years. So it wasn't just a show about one man in a different era, but perhaps a show about many people in many different eras. And of course, Nathan Lane is one of the premier Broadway actors of not only of this age, but of all time. So it was a great show at the Winter Garden Theater in New York City.
How was the crowd? How's the traffic and such?
Oh, well, of course, this is a short-run show, so the house was packed. New York City is very busy this time of the year. It's still student travel time in April, May, and June. A lot of student groups are out, high school seniors and middle school kids and stuff like that. And New York is a huge road trip destination for kids, not only from local schools, but for places from all over. We saw a group of kids in the lobby of the Marriott last night. Looked like they were either on their way in or their way out. But it's a really, New York is an incredibly exciting city and an incredibly wonderful place. If you have never been here and you have always aspired to come here, it is all the good things and all the bad things that you've ever heard about it are all true. But it is, I think, one of the most exciting places on the planet. And if you have an opportunity, if you love the theater and you've never been to Broadway, then you need to make that a priority, because this is nothing against the theater that we see locally. We have some wonderful productions, but let's face it, the major leagues of theater is Broadway in New York City. And that's what you get when you come here. And guess what? You get the prices to go with it.
Well, all right. There you go. Well, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and at top of every program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And once again, with today's edition, and see what we've got going on. A lot of stuff here and there. Once again, Mr. Mark Hoffman.
Well, the Hilton people believing that, 17 or 18 or 20 hotel brands is not enough have come up with another one. Hilton actually has a brand called Graduate Hotels by Hilton, which are kind of an upscale brand. There is one that my company uses in Eugene near a university campus. They have launched another brand called Undergraduate by Hilton. I'll use Hilton's words here, a new upper mid-scale brand. Every brand, by the way, is upper mid-scale. There's no such thing as a lower mid-scale because that wouldn't sell any rooms. A new upper mid-scale brand developed to serve a broader range of college and university markets. Building on the success of Graduate by Hilton, the brand introduces a complimentary expression of college town hospitality. Want me to translate that for you?
Would you please?
This is a cheaper version of Graduate by Hilton, Undergraduate by Hilton. Graduate by Hilton is for the parents to stay when they come to see the kids graduate. Undergraduate by Hilton is where the kids stay when they're thinking about going to school there. I think that is probably a reasonable translation of what's going on there. Hey, we have a couple of entertainment items this week. You know, we advertise ourselves as a travel and entertainment guys, but oftentimes entertainment has to kind of come to us, land on our doorstep. Here is a story about a gentleman who I saw perform not too many years ago. Frankie Valli is in the news this week. He is 92 years old. Wow. Remember Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons?
Oh, man. No, absolutely. Never forget Frankie Valli in the Four. I hear Frankie every few days when I'm listening to some classic oldies on my XM radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he won a Lifetime Grammy Award, Achievement Award earlier this year. He is a man who's been around forever. Gosh, I saw him perform live, must have been 20 years ago. Anyways, him and his band still maintain a touring concert schedule. They have had to cancel it for the remainder of this year. It's only about half a dozen dates, but Valley's having some health issues and needs to take some time off. However, he has said, without going into great detail, he says the doctors say that he will be fine, and he fully expects to be back on the road next year at the age of 92/93. We should all be so lucky.
For sure. I've been following Barry Manilow. I know he is chomping at the bit to get back on stage as well, but has been struggling with his voice being as strong and as smooth as it used to be. So it's coming, but not yet. But, we wish them both well.
He's coming back from also from cancer surgery.
Yes.
All right, shifting gears, back to travel here. Hawaiian Airlines says that, framing it as a positive, they are cutting out free meals in economy. Something that's always amazed me in recent years was that Hawaiian Airlines was really the last major carrier to serve free meals in economy. And, free meals, free airline meals in economy, if you go back 10 or 20 or 30 years when they were all served, when all the carriers served free meals in economy, they were never anything to write home about.
No.
The idea was to keep you from starving to death between places. But Hawaiian has said that, you know, we're getting rid of those icky old meals that nobody really liked anyway. By the way, they were free. And what we're elevating onboard dining. You know how they're elevating it?
No, how?
You're going to pay for it. That's how they're elevating it.
Okay, so the quality will be better, but there'll be a fee associated with it, right?
Yes, exactly. They're they've got some Hawaiian dishes. Some other lovely things here, everything from banana pancakes for breakfast and stuff like that. So we'll see. Pancakes, by the way, are one food that does do fairly well on airplanes if you're looking for something that is edible. But anyway, Hawaiian is cutting out free meals, and they're telling you that that's a plus because now the food is going to be so much better, to which I would just say, why didn't you just throw a few more bucks in the meal kitty and make the food so much better and not charge us for it? But I digress.
You know, I have to say, and I have to ask, and you can chime in, of course, preparing, obviously the meals that you eat on the plane are not prepared on the plane. That would just not work. So, right. You know, they have to come up with a way to create a meal and then keep it warm in those big boxes or whatever it is and bring it to you. And I think it seems to me that in itself is going to reduce the availability and make more difficult the ability to provide you with a higher quality meal.
Oh, there's absolutely no question. I mean, airline meals, of course, are not prepared on board. Some first class meals are assembled on board. You know, things are put together or the sauce is poured over the meat or different things of that sort. But I've always found, Tom, on airlines, cold food is generally the best.
Mm-hmm. Like a salad?
Yeah, exactly. A cold salad with chicken on it or some other protein or something like that. With a dressing, there's almost nothing they can do to that to damage it before it gets to you. Whereas with other things, they're trying to do things in the air and in ovens that are not real ovens and not microwave ovens and just kind of reheating things. And it's hit and miss at the very best. So anybody who goes on an airplane, no matter what they've paid for a ticket, expecting a gourmet meal, is crazy. Take a couple of your favorite snacks. And, you know, I oftentimes take a nap if I happen to be, snag an upgrade or something like that and a meal is involved. Or even if I'm in coach, I've planned before I get on the plane because $7 Pringles is not, my idea of great food in the sky. Here's something that we've mentioned before. We're going to get the TSA guys on so they can explain this because it really is fairly simple. TSA touchless ID is expanding nationwide, and it now includes Sacramento.
Oh, all right.
So, yeah. So you don't have to have clear, which is another touchless way to kind of skip the line and get on board the plane. Touchless ID with TSA means you will not have to get in the TSA line. There's a separate line for folks that have registered for touchless ID. It works on biometrics. So if you're not okay with that, then you're not going to be okay with this, but then you're probably not going to be okay with going to the airport at all. But TSA will, you don't have to speak to anybody. You go up, you line up, it takes your picture. And if everything comes out okay, the doors open up and off you go. So sounds like a great way to save time at the airport. So we'll get our guys from TSA on to explain how you can get registered for that if you aren't already, because it will save you some time at airports. Something kind of cool. I've been in New York City for a couple of days. The tall ships are coming here for America's 250th birthday next month, July 4th. Mm-hmm. They are going to have a vintage sailing parade all over New York Harbor.
Wow, that'll be spectacular.
Yeah. I'm only hoping, I can't imagine that it won't be featured on television screens everywhere, but all kinds of older ships, I mean, with beautiful, I'm looking at pictures of them here. I won't run down the names and the like, because I'm not sure that would be of any significance to everybody. But if you like tall ships, they are coming to New York City over the 4th of July. So watch your television guide, and I'm sure that between all the news station, 24-hour news networks that we have and the like, that there will be ample coverage. Tall ships are something that I consider really cool to watch.
Yeah, I agree. So I was admiring a photograph on the wall at our friend's Rudy's Hideaway. They have a couple, and one of them is of a tall ship cruising past what is yet to be constructed, the remainder of the Golden Gate Bridge back in the 30s, and this enormous tall ship is cruising by, and I'm looking at that, and I'm going, boy, those were the days of sailing big time. It took a lot of folks and a lot of technicians to properly sail those beasts.
You betcha. You betcha. We lost Spirit Airlines a few weeks ago, and I never flew Spirit Airlines, had no intention of ever flying Spirit Airlines, but I'm going to suggest to you that many of us who didn't fly Spirit Airlines had an investment in Spirit Airlines, because now that Spirit is gone, here comes the headline from American Airlines: American trims basic economy perks, stirring backlash. So indeed, the fares that airlines, that full-service airlines like American invented to compete with Spirit, now that Spirit is gone and they don't have to compete with them anymore, they're rolling back some of those airlines, some of those fares, and some of the minimal benefits that went with them, charging more for things, giving you fewer miles, if any at all. Anything they can do to discourage, you know, there'll be no upgrades if you buy a basic economy fare, no matter what your status is. So the airlines, first American, you watch, the others will follow quickly, are dusting away the tracks of Spirit just as fast as they can, so that nobody will ever remember that there was this one way to fly where if you carry on your bag and you didn't care where you're set and you're willing to put up with no leg room at all, that you could fly really cheap. So they're going to try to erase that memory as quickly as possible.
There you go. And all the munchkins from The Wizard of Oz, they'll be signing up for that no leg room and tiny little suitcases.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I was just thinking about who would those people be that you mentioned. And, you know, and nowadays the leg room is so minimal that anybody over 5'6" is going to struggle to be comfortable.
Soon we're going to have an airline that, you know, they're going to put Vaseline on everybody's kneecaps as you board, so that way you can slide right into your seat. Delta Airlines is betting that travel between the United States and Canada is going to make a little bit of a comeback next year. Delta has announced that they're going to resume operations between Los Angeles and Vancouver, Canada, with twice daily service. That's kind of important because Vancouver tends to be a hub city. Since we've lost our nonstop service to Toronto from Sacramento in the summertime, now if you're going to Canada and you're flying on Air Canada, you have to go through their hub in Vancouver, basically, to get to Sacramento. So Delta has a hub in Seattle. So this is a way of, and they also have a hub in Los Angeles. So they're going to fly between Los Angeles and Vancouver a couple times a year. This is not a big deal. Doesn't really affect us, except that it maybe increases our chances of getting that nonstop Toronto flight back. And maybe there will be a little bit of thawing of relations between the U.S. and Canada. There are a lot of Canadian travelers who no longer come here. In fact, Tom, Canadian travel, a tour operator friend of mine who used to run, you know, between 15 and 20 trips to the United States a year from British Columbia, this year will run zero. He says zero. But his business is doing just fine. He says his people are traveling domestically or they're traveling to other countries and they're going, you know, if you're in British Columbia, international travel is quite a long ways for just about anything. But he says his people are going to Australia, New Zealand, and Europe. And he said the U.S. is quickly becoming but a memory. So it may not be that when the current folks who declare that Canada should be the 51st state are no longer in charge, the Canadians may not necessarily rush to come back here. We'll have to see what happens. But I can report that U.S. travelers traveling to Canada continue to be very, very welcome in Canada. All right, let's get to a couple of other quick things here. Uber and Lyft drivers in Massachusetts have formed the first U.S. ride-sharing union of drivers. 70,000 ride-share drivers in Massachusetts have formed a union. So let's just see what happens. I'm sure Uber and Lyft are absolutely thrilled about this. Because they tend to be able to dictate how things are done. And I'm just going to tell you, we've become so dependent on these guys now that if they disappeared off the streets tomorrow, it would be total chaos. And finally, know what the Southwest Airlines' longest route is in the United States?
Let me think here. New York to Hawaii.
They don't fly to New York to Hawaii, but if so, I'm sure that would be. Think about not Hawaii.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
San Diego to Boston, 6.5 hours.
Oh, San Diego to Austin, huh?
To Boston.
Oh, to Boston. Yes. Okay.
To Boston. 6.5 hours across the country. I don't know why I found that significant. But I did, and that's your travel news for today.
And it's Mark and Tom. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Our friends at Wallet Hub always have some great surveys and stuff. Mark, let's talk about it.
Well, they have decided, the folks at Wallet Hub, and they have sometimes a little different criteria than, you know, you or I or the average consumer might have, because they're taking into account numbers of locations and what the ratings might be on the hotel chains overall. They decided that Choice Privileges is the best hotel rewards program. Now, some people are saying Choice Privileges, what is that? Well, that would be Comfort Inns and La Quinta and some of the second line hotel chains are part of Choice Privileges. Of course, Choice Hotels are. Their redemption, the amount of points you earn tend to be lower, and the number of points needed for redemption tend to be lower. And because, you know, I'm sitting here in Times Square in New York City, and in full disclosure, this program was recorded a day early because I'm on an airplane to Amsterdam while the show would be live. But there is no Choice Hotel in Times Square. Doesn't mean that they're not Choice Hotels in Manhattan, but they would perhaps be not the number one choice for location and things of that. But in terms of your wallet, then Choice Hotels score very well. So Wallet Hub folks, they value the points that you are given every time they do one of these surveys, and they value the rewards points from Choice Hotels at 1.3 cents apiece. To give you an idea, Hilton Honors points are valued at about half a point apiece. So you don't have to be the biggest or the fanciest hotel chain necessarily to have the best value in your rewards program. And these folks have decided that Comfort Hotels, Quality Inns, Econo Lodge, Rodeway Inn, and Clarion are just a few of the hotels in their portfolio. So if you are somebody who looks for value on a regular basis when you're staying in hotels or you're traveling with a family and you're looking for a place that won't bust your budget, then Choice Hotels are probably a good, if you'll excuse the expression, choice for you. But anyway, Wallet Hub has decided that they have the best hotel earnings program, rewards program, for next year. I wanted to just take a minute and go back over the fact once again, as we see, I got three notes from listeners last week complaining about the devaluation of hotel points, that a hotel that they had stayed in a lady commented on a Hilton Hotel, Hilton Garden Inn. She had stayed in the Seattle area. That was 30,000 points a year ago. Was 55,000 points to stay in this time. And she said roughly the same time of the year, same day of the week. So I would have looked for something comparable. She said there weren't any, you know, citywide conventions or anything going on. I'm just wondering why it's so much. It cost her so many points. And I'm just going to reiterate something we've talked about before here. And that is the airlines, the hotels, all these folks. Heck, my own company has a points program for frequent travelers. I would note that the redemption levels have never changed in the 30 plus years that we've had the program. The cost of tours have gone up, but so you earn more points and tours cost more points to redeem for. But hotels and the like, they can move the needle whenever they want to. So yes, that Hilton Garden Inn that used to be 30,000 points now is 40 or 50 or 60,000. So you have to earn more points in order to get a free room there. And similar with all the other brands of Hilton, Marriott is guilty of the same thing. These guys who print their own money, airlines are the same way, and could decide for themselves how much of that money you need to redeem to get their products. They're in total control of the program. So don't get too dependent upon the earning and redeeming on some of these programs. Look for your value in other places. Do they give you an early check-in? Do they give you a late check-out? Do you get free breakfast? I mean, something besides something they've scraped out of the garbage can. Do you get some benefits that are really something that you can sink your teeth into? And maybe it's not a free room. Maybe it's discounted parking or different things. I mean, here at the Marriott, my sports leisure guests don't pay this due to our negotiations with the hotels. But there's a $40 a night destination fee here, which is like incredibly totally bogus. And you're not likely to get $40 worth of value out of it, no matter what you do. So it's a cash grab for the hotel. So when you're looking at hotel programs and stuff, look at hotels, perhaps, and hotel chains. Are they trying to get into your back pocket every time you turn around? They're putting a $5 bill in your front pocket and taking a $10 bill out of your back pocket at the same time.
Going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Tom, I'd be remiss being here in New York City if I didn't take this opportunity to mention that you can come to New York City with Sports Leisure Vacations. Clayton Whitehead, one of our road reporters, hosts a group every Thanksgiving. He is here over Thanksgiving, seeing the Rockettes at Radio City Music Hall, enjoying Broadway shows, having a Thanksgiving dinner on the Hudson River on a boat. That's the trip that he brings here every Thanksgiving, and the 2026 version is currently on sale. You can look it up at sportsleisure.com. Join Clayton. He stays 5 nights here at the Marriott Marquis Hotel. Lots of included shows. I mentioned the Rockettes and all of that. We come to New York every spring also on a variety of different itineraries. All I can say to you is that when you come with Sports Leisure Vacations to New York City, you stay right in Times Square at the beautiful Marriott Marquis Hotel. You have experienced tour directors who will know where to take you, and we will. The itineraries are accented with great things that New York City is famous for, and little things that you might not know about, like taking folks up for a lunch in the Bronx or something just a little bit off the beaten track. Anyway, if you are a fan of New York City and you've been thinking about coming to Broadway for a long time, take a look at sportsleisure.com and see what we have offering. We bring you to New York City a couple of times a year, so join us in the Big Apple sometime soon.
You know, I was thinking as you were speaking, because I have not been to New York City, believe it or not, and a lot of us that haven't, we were a little intimidated about taking that trip on your own. Clearly, a trip with Sports Leisure would be the way to go, because now you're with people that are experienced, you have an itinerary, you're not going to get lost, you're going to see good stuff, and probably first-timers, even if you've been before, first-timers particularly, I think would be the best way to go.
New York City is an incredibly overwhelming place. I think back to my first visit here, and I just stepped out of the taxi cab in a couple blocks north of Times Square and was like, wow, I've never even imagined a place like this before with all of these people and all of this activity. And somehow it works. I'm not sure how it works, but somehow it does. And this city goes in 100 different directions at all times of the day. But it's never boring. There's always something going on here, always something happening. And there are people from all over the planet. And even with the, strained international relations that we have right now, you can still walk out into Times Square and inside of 2 minutes could strike up a conversation from somebody from the other side of the world. And so it's just a really amazing place. There is no other place like it. Now, I haven't been to every city on the planet, but certainly in these United States, they say New York is the center of the universe. And I have no doubt of that. It is a really exciting place to come. And to your point, Tom, if you haven't been here before, if the first time you come with somebody who's been here and can kind of show you the ropes, so that you can get the idea of how to do things. The subway is an incredibly efficient way to get around in the city. And a lot of visitors come here and ride around on buses, or, you know, they'll try to walk to a lot of places. And it's a very walkable city. But the subway is like the most ingenious tool from getting from point A to point B, underground in most cases in this city, in incredibly efficient fashion. So you can get all over the place and just walk above ground enough to get to where you're going, and then go back above, back underground. And I mean, you could go from Manhattan to Yankee Stadium in 45 minutes.
That's amazing. It's I'm thinking Disneyland without all the amusement rides.
And increasingly, there are things, you know, amusement rides around here. Gosh, there's a brand new, only a couple years old, Museum of Broadway a couple of blocks from the hotel here, which, you know, I first thought was, oh, okay, another $35 way to take money from tourists. But no, it's a brilliant museum, and they actually have folks from Broadway who are there from time to time to sign autographs and give talks and stuff like that. So it's really, if you come here, the Museum of Broadway, something that you definitely want to do and to see. But you'll want to see some shows here. And the other thing is, just even if you don't have a ticket to a show, if you're out on the street here in the Times Square area, in the theater district, between 7 and 8 o'clock at night, the excitement is, you can taste it. I mean, it's just so amazing. I was reminded of that last night. You know, people with a ticket in their hand, and they're going to a show that they've always wanted to see, mm-hmm. or that their friends told them was terrific. And so, what a place.
You know, the Tony Awards are tomorrow night, and which connects quite well with your visit.
Yes, it does. We were watching last night and making notes, you know, who in this show, who is nominated and might have a shot at a Tony Award. But they are tomorrow night. What are they on? ABC? Is that where they are usually?
Yeah, I do believe so.
There are, Death of a Salesman has 9 nominations. There is an interesting quirk tomorrow night. It's been 50 years since a 2-person musical has been nominated for Best Musical at the Tony Awards. And the show that is nominated, it's got 2 young people starring in it. I don't know a whole lot about it, but it's called 2 Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York. And that musical has been nominated. This is kind of interesting. It's been 44 years since Cats debuted on Broadway, and now another Cats show, The Jellicle Ball, is Tony nominated with 9 nominations, including Best Revival of a Musical. So 44 years after Cats, which is truly one of the most beloved Broadway shows of all time, premiered here. Now there is a Cats follow-up, and it is doing very well. So for Cats fans, come back. Plays are really in, perhaps a little more than musicals currently, plays with celebrities in them. We saw Nathan Lane in Death of a Salesman last night. John Lithgow is on Broadway. Daniel Radcliffe is currently here. So there are there's something for everybody on Broadway. So if you are a theater fan, just know that many of these shows that we're talking about, that you're like, wow, I've never heard of that before. Well, you will, because in a couple of years, those same shows are going to be in Sacramento, and you're going to be getting tickets and paying good money to go see them. So the Tony Awards are maybe not quite as big of a deal outside of New York City as they used to be, but they really drive a lot of ticket sales here in New York. The day after the Tony Awards, there will be shows that will get huge ticket boosts that others will not get, because of those winning awards. All right, I wanted to talk a little bit in this segment, Tom, about a couple of other things here. DoubleTree Cookies. You check into a DoubleTree hotel, and something that happens at their front desk that doesn't happen at other hotel chains, you generally get a nice warm chocolate chip cookie. And I think they're somewhat delicious. Do not look at the nutritional guidelines on them, however. Because if you eat a chocolate chip cookie, you can't eat anything else the rest, a DoubleTree chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
You can't eat anything else the rest of the day. Interesting story, though. It was 1985 that DoubleTree cookies were the concept was born. And the CEO of DoubleTree Hotels was in Laguna Beach, and he saw this cookie place, and he went in. It was a branch of a San Francisco-based cookie company called Blue Chip Cookies. And they had this chocolate chip cookie with walnuts in it. And he broke it in half and he took a couple of bites and he said, "Oh my God, this is the most amazing chocolate chip cookie that I've ever eaten." And by early 1986, the cookies made their debut at one of their Scottsdale hotels. And they quickly became so popular that they are in DoubleTree hotels all over the country. And in fact, you can now order these cookies online and have them delivered to your house. So if you were a DoubleTree cookie nut, but the whole concept was born because the CEO found a delicious chocolate chip cookie in Laguna Beach 40 years ago and decided that that might be something that would brand his hotel. And I would say he did a pretty good job of it.
I ever noticed the, well, hard not to, they have their shuttles where they take people from place to place. And they have this graphic or this picture, and it's so real, of their giant chocolate chip cookies on the side of the shuttle buses and so forth. And just looking at it makes you want to have one of those cookies. It's a great brand.
Well, the it is. It's a unique branding thing. And until just the last couple of years here, they kind of let it lie in the background. But now, to your point, they want to be known as the hotel that has the delicious chocolate chip cookies that you get when you check in.
The cookie
and
hotel.
Why not? There has to be some kind of cost to that and keeping those cookies warm and in drawers at check-in. And did you know what? The person who wrote this article, I probably shouldn't say this. This is a hack. This is an official DoubleTree cookie hack. This guy said that you could go back to the front desk, that he stayed for 4 days, and that he went back on day three and asked if he could have another chocolate chip cookie, and they gave him one.
Why not?
So I'm just saying, I mean, all of these other computer hacks and stuff like that, those are all BS. We're talking about DoubleTree chocolate chip cookie
hacks. There's a hack.
So, for yeah, sure. I mean, you know, something with an actual benefit that you can, so to speak, taste DoubleTree cookies. All right, one more item here before we go to a break. What's trending in travel? And a company looked at this, an online firm, and said, my goodness, many of the things that are trending in travel right now involve women. We've talked about this on the show before, how in many cases it involves female travelers, women traveling alone or traveling as part of, you know, a couple of ladies or a group of four ladies or something like that. And they basically have, I would say that 85% of the people who travel with Sports Leisure Vacations are ladies. We have a few men, husbands, who are dragged along sometimes against their will to go out on the road. And then we have a few single male travelers who generally are very compatible to the ladies. You know, they're not there looking to pick up somebody or something like that. They're just there to have a good time, and they fit perfectly into the group. Our groups are generally, and because there are a lot of females, making friends, and you go out and you're alone and by yourself, you're only alone and by yourself for as long as you wish to be. At least that's on one of our tours. And from what I'm reading here, on many others too, what's trending, top five things that are trending in travel, women only group travel, is the breakout trend of 2026. Companies offering women only tours have grown over 200% in recent years. As I mentioned, my own company, we don't have women-only tours, but they might as well be, because in many cases there are 30 people on board and there may only be 2, 3, 4, 5 gentlemen. Solo female travel spending is at an all-time high. Solo female travelers 45-plus will spend an average, holy but Jesus, of $18,000 per trip in 2026. 84% of all solo travelers are now women.
Hmm.
So this is something that's really changed in the last 20, 25 years. Women are much more confident about traveling by themselves on the road now. Rhodes Scholar says that 85% of their solo travelers are women. and that which lines up with what I tell you from my own company. Calmcations, slower restorative travel, are gaining ground. We've talked about this, except we called it wellness. And then indeed in the write-up here, it says wellness-focused unhurried itineraries are named a 2026 trend. Cultural immersion is the top priority for 60% of women surveyed. So meaning that people are not going to travel just to look at things. They want to go and be a part of things or learn about things. Or if they're going to be observing, they want to be observing the real deal and learning how it's done. And I can remember taking a group of folks on a mystery tour about a year ago to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, where home of the Groundhog Day celebration, sure, and the like. And you would think that would be kind of corny, but those people in that little town have a whole big symbolic ceremonial thing that takes a whole week that they go through. And there's a pecking order in town and the whole nine yards. And my people found it fascinating. So it was more than just a groundhog coming out of the ground. There was a whole story behind it. And when you got to this little town and you heard it, it was entertaining and fascinating and educational. And when you left, it was like, wow, that was pretty cool. I'm glad that you took us there. So that's the kinds of things, yeah, off the beaten track things. Having just completed all of this Route 66 stuff, which is probably as authentic as any tourism in the country, it fits into that category. Okay, fourth on this list is era of ageless adventures. Women 50 plus refusing to wait. Women 50 plus are traveling more and more and more, are budgeting more towards travel. Despite economic headwinds, they list themselves as empowered, savvy, and determined. One lady who was 82 said, look, I'm older. I'm not going to be here forever. She said, I can leave some of this money for my grandchildren, but I might as well spend it. Grandpa doesn't want to travel. He'd rather stay home. So I'm going out on the road. So there are a lot of women like that. A lot. And finally, here, a fifth on the list of travel trends for this year, rail journeys are emerging as a premium way to travel. Domestic rail is gaining popularity, not only in the retired market, but in the 50 to 65-year-olds. Riding on an Amtrak train can be reasonably inexpensive, and you get to see a lot. And itineraries can be planned so that, you know, you ride the train for a day and you stop for a couple of days. So many, I can tell you almost every rail package that Sports Leisure Vacations puts out there sells out fairly quickly. And rail travel is not particularly inexpensive. So anyway, that's a little bit about some of the top travel trends for 2026.
So what else you got, yeah, for us today, Mark?
I got some odds and ends here. Listen, here's an article written by a lady who was a flight attendant for 20 years. They asked her what the biggest bummer of being a flight attendant was. What do you suppose it was?
Not being touched often enough.
Well, not exactly being touched too often.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's almost a rare occurrence when it doesn't happen. Apparently, and I guess this makes perfect sense to me, and I've done this a couple times over the years, so I won't do it again. Flight attendants in general don't like to be touched. You know, I mean, even if you're just a light tap on the shoulder, you know, you think they've passed you or forgotten what you had asked for, or could you just get a pillow, or could they turn the air conditioner a little higher or something like that. Don't touch the flight attendant. So here's the way to do it. I mean, even if they're standing right there, protocol, according to this group of flight attendants, is hit the call button. Mm-hmm. If you think that the flight attendant has missed you or something, even if they're close by, just hit the call button. And then that way they'll turn and give you a bit of their attention and you don't have to. But flight attendants say here, this is from the Sarah Nelson, International President of the Association of Flight Attendants. So travelers may feel like flight attendants are a part of the furniture. People are out of their ordinary routines, and so it feels like it would be okay. But she said, you know, you wouldn't go into a restaurant and poke your waitress. You wouldn't go into a coffee shop and grab the shirt of your barista. So she's just saying that, and I have to agree with those comments. that she's probably right when it comes to flight attendants. So, yo, those of you listening out there, pay attention. Don't touch the flight attendants. Use the call button.
Okay.
If you are a car fan, in Tulsa last week, they had a Route 66 cruise. Remember, this is the centennial year of the old Mother Road Highway. They broke a world's record by a whole lot. 3,596 vehicles in their cruise, the Capital Cruise in Tulsa, Oklahoma, last weekend. The old world's record for the largest cruise number of vehicles was 2,400. So these guys had 35, almost 3,600 vehicles. I can only just imagine looking down the street. Okay, 3,600 is the number, and you're looking out the window, and you can see, you know, what, 20, 25 cars down the street, 30, 35 cars maybe if you have a good view. Now think there's 3,600 cars in this cruise. I mean, that's a lot of vehicles. I'm not really an old car guy, but if you were, man, I'll bet you there was every kind and every color and every shape and every size. 3,600 vehicles. More than 5,000 vehicles registered for the event, so I guess they had some no-shows. 100,000 spectators along 11th Street in Tulsa,
man,
to watch the procession. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Way to go, Route 66. And the folks along the old highway are reporting it. More and more folks are out there. Okay, let's see here quickly. Burbank is getting a brand-new airport.
Unbelievable. It's about time.
Yeah, in the It's About Time department, for a long time, the biggest secret of airline flying was that you could fly to Los Angeles, you know, and instead of flying to LAX or someplace like that, you flew to one of the secondary airports. First, it was Orange County, and then people discovered, well, hey, there's this little Burbank airport, and it only has like 9 gates, and you get in, you walk off the plane, you're out of the terminal in a minute and a half. It's the most convenient thing in history, so it's not as big of a secret now. They have some runway issues there in terms of length of runway, but the new terminal is going to be in an entirely different location on the other side of the runways, and it is scheduled to open in just a few months. So
really?
If you are a Burbank flyer, there is going to be a brand new airport here in California in the city of Burbank. It'll be called the Hollywood Burbank. I think Glendale used to be in that title also, and Pasadena used to be in there too. But Hollywood Burbank Airport, brand new terminal. Now, it's not going to be huge because they didn't have a lot of space to work with, but at least it'll be a little bit more organized and maybe a little bit more accessible than the last one.
Do you think they'll just shut down the old terminal altogether?
No, they are not. It's going to be a seamless operation. They are going to stop in one terminal one day and start in the other terminal the next day. Won't that be interesting?
Fascinating. Well, I'll tell you what, we're nearing the end of another Travel and Entertainment Guys program. I want to thank you for coming along. We'll be back next Saturday, 11 a.m. You can find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. So thanks for coming along. Mark, you enjoy the rest of your trip. I guess we'll be speaking to you from Amsterdam next.
Absolutely. Well, no, I'll actually be back, but I'll have lots of stories about Amsterdam next week. And remember the podcast at TravelGuysRadio.com. Dance like nobody's watching. See you next Saturday.